Welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb. Easter marks the high point of the calendar, certainly for the Christians. When Jesus Christ walked out of that tomb bodily that first Easter Sunday, he changed all of history. In fact, he divided history into B.C., before Christ, and A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. To discuss the Easter story is Gretchen Goldsmith, co-founder, president, and CEO of Rose Publishing, which specializes in Bible charts, maps, timelines, and Bible studies. And she put together an Easter story pamphlet. It's actually kind of like a note card, if you will, that folds out. Good to have you on the program, Gretchen.
Thank you, Jerry. It's great to be with you.
Sure. Let's begin with a question of why did you decide to put this thing together?
Well, you know, with the media these days, so many of our Bible stories get kind of messed up, you know, the Disney version of this Bible story or the movie version of, you know, the Exodus or Noah or whatever. And suddenly the general population doesn't, you know, they lose sight of what the real biblical story is. And so we thought in 14 panels, in a little pamphlet, we could tell the Easter story that's biblically accurate, give people the full rundown from all of the Gospels. So that was the basic idea behind this, and we wanted it to be so attractive that even non-Christians would be interested in reading it, just so they know the story.
All right, and could you go ahead and tell us what some of those 14 panels are?
Okay, well, you know, I think what people really need to know about Easter, as they come into Easter, let's say that they're Christians and they already know about the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus, but just understanding that when Jesus came, he was not some hapless victim. He knew that he was coming to his death. Mm-hmm. He knew that it would happen that week. He had told his disciples over and over that he was going to freely give his life for us. They didn't quite understand that. They weren't even sure they really believed that. But he showed us in the last week of his life how to be obedient, how to sacrifice. And so, you know, there was the triumphal entry where he rode on the back of a donkey, we call that Palm Sunday, into the city of Jerusalem. And people just spontaneously put their coats down on the ground, they waved palm branches, and they used the word Hosanna, which is from Psalm 118, which grants Jesus the messianic title as being the anointed one. Hmm. And the Pharisees were so upset by this because they realized what the people were doing. They said, hey, shut your followers up. And Jesus says, no, if they don't cry out, even the stones will cry out. So this marked an incredible moment where people recognized that Jesus was the king, even though he had been brought up in this humble home in the hillbilly country of Nazareth, and this was going to be the culmination of his ministry. Mm-hmm. So, and then throughout that week, you know, we know from Holy Week that Jesus simply was public. He was available. If they had wanted to arrest him, they could have. And you know, he did what he usually did. He told parables. He took on the disciples. He cleared the temple and said, no, you can't make my Father's house, you know, into a den of thieves. And you know, then the Passover. We know the Passover story, the Last Supper, and you know, the Garden of Gethsemane. And so, you know, this pamphlet goes through and it tells all the major points. You know, Jesus arrested, Jesus tried before the high priest, Peter denying Jesus, kind of the interplay between Pilate and Herod. And so we wanted to give, the idea was to give the story of Easter.
It's almost like we live in a time where people need the talking points. In modern mm-hmm. America, you know, you almost need those water cooler points that that you want to summarize, and so this kind of digest is helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. We you know, we forget, even those of us who have been brought up in the church and from devout Christian homes, we forget, you know, each of the points, and so it is great to have something that kind of, you know, digs in and helps remind us what a significant thing this was. And I was just talking to someone this morning who said, do you realize that it almost seems like in America, Thanksgiving and Christmas are more important in churches than Easter? And we were trying to figure out why that was. And I know that's not true for every church, but you know, we really need to focus on the fact that this is the central message of the gospel for us.
Oh, absolutely. How about a comment about women being among the first who saw Jesus risen from the dead, and how is that significant and why?
Yeah, you know, it's so fascinating because Jesus was so countercultural, as you well know. You know, women followed him. There's several mentions of that in the Gospels. He had intimate conversations with women. There were women at the cross, along with the Apostle John, women at the tomb. We know that women were the first people to see Jesus after the resurrection. They responded with faith and trust. And when they went to tell Jesus' disciples, the disciples didn't even believe them. And yet Jesus had, you know, trusted women, talked to women, worked with women all through his ministry. And so it is just kind of an interesting, it's an interesting track that Jesus put women in a new light in Christianity, mm-hmm. that in a new place that they didn't occupy either in Judaism or in the Roman Empire. So it's something special. Jesus elevated the position of women in the Gospels.
And that has had profound history or profound impact on history. And yet, unfortunately, Christianity often gets a bad rap as if it's oppressive towards women.
Yeah, that is very true. And I think we just always have to look at Jesus' example. You know, he wasn't afraid to walk up to a woman, you know, at the well, one-on-one. I mean, how many people would do that today? She was kind of a woman who had a past. She was living with someone at the time, and yet she ended up being the greatest evangelist listed in at least in the Gospels. No one brought more people to Jesus than she did. From just simply going back to the leaders in her city and saying, come meet the man who's told me everything I've ever done. So it's really counterintuitive. Jesus does some really remarkable things, and I think we as Christians need to be, as Paul calls us to do, be imitators of Christ.
Okay, good. How about a comment on an overview of who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead? You've already mentioned the women.
Right. You know, I think we can say that, you know, it's the women, and then they go back and tell the apostles, and then Peter and John run to the tomb. Depending on which gospel you're reading, Peter outruns John. I'm sorry. Then they go back, confirm the news to the rest of the disciples. Jesus appears on the beach with them. We remember that story. He appeared in a closed room twice, once without Thomas. Mm-hmm. And then according to 1 Corinthians 15, he appeared to more than 500 people. So this wasn't a hallucination or just, you know, wishful thinking on the part of his disciples. There was plenty of evidence and plenty of people around who could corroborate the story.
By the way, I just heard or overheard a conversation the other day with a man who does court transcriptions. And he was saying that if you have five different witnesses of the same accident, it sounds almost like five different accidents. And so whatever little minor discrepancies there may appear in the Gospels or, you know, in Corinthians or whatever, in terms of the resurrection appearances, the fact is you put it all together and you have the total picture. And in fact, the man who wrote the book called The Laws of Evidence and was one of the first of two men to help put Harvard Law School on the map in the early 19th century, Simon Greenleaf, took his fantastic skills as a lawyer and as an expert on the laws of evidence and wrote a book called The Testimony of the Evangelist. And he basically said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are absolutely verifiable, and they would hold up in a court of law. Simon Greenleaf said that. All right, how about a comment? I understand you have a panel on the medical effects of Christ's treatments. We'll close with this since we're almost out of time.
All right. Well, I think I think it's really important for us to realize, and this is difficult. You know, this was a violent death that Jesus experienced, and I don't mean to upset anybody, but you know, the truth of the matter was that he was beaten, he was flogged and scourged, he was tied to a post, whipped with a whip that had, you know, lead balls or bone pieces until his skin and his underlying muscles were shredded into bloody strips. He was mocked. A crown of thorns was put on his head. And then he was asked to or demanded to carry his own cross, would have been well over 100 pounds, to the crucifixion site. And then crucifixion itself with the iron spikes going through his wrists and feet and severing major nerves. You know, this was something he voluntarily did for us because he loved us. Mm. And I think we this is the time of year that we really do need to grapple with that and understand what that means.
Mm-hmm. Christ died for our sins and he rose from the dead. Thank you so much, Gretchen Goldsmith, for being with us. Rose-publishing.com for more information. Thank you.
Thank you.